Sounds kind of like leading a herd of cats sometimes, right? Everybody sort of goes their own way. You know? If you are visiting with us, want to let you know we're doing a series I'm calling Godship, and I will define that for you in just a second. But we're trying to abbreviate our service and give us some time here at the end to hear a little bit about our missionary program. So we've cut back on the singing and the communion, and I might cut back on my sermon. I'm still working on that, but we're thinking about it. But no, we're gonna leave them plenty of time. And I've had a voice treatment this week, so my voice is weak. So if you're visiting with us, I won't yell a whole lot. You're kind of blessed. See how good a Sunday it is? Let's ask God to help us. Excuse me. Father, we love you. You're so good to us. Thank you for giving us another day. Father, we want to give this day to you. And so, Father, we ask you to give us people to talk to, people to be a witness about you too. And, Father, help us not to miss those opportunities when they come our way. And, Father, more than anything, we want to glorify you with every moment of our life. Guide us now in this study. May you be glorified by all the things we've been doing and are going to do. Father, we want this to be all about you. And, again, thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, and amen. I want to begin by mentioning a musical that is right up there at the top four or five of my favorite all-time Broadway musicals and movies, Fiddler on the Roof. I mean, one of the things that makes a musical a great musical is when nearly every song in it is incredible. Not just one big blockbuster, but I mean every song is just incredible. And whenever I think of Fiddler on the Roof, you know, tradition. Of course, now every time I think of that, I think construction. That goes back almost 15 years ago. But one of my favorite songs in the storyline is Do You Love Me? Now, I know you're probably familiar with it, but the whole plot of the story is that you've got Tevye and his wife, and they've got three daughters, and the daughters, instead of following tradition and getting assigned a husband, have fallen in love with different guys, and they all want to get married because they want to get married, not because the papa says it's okay. And he really doesn't like that. And so that's part of the struggle of this whole thing of tradition. They don't want to follow tradition. They're in love and they want to get married. And so as you get into the storyline here, he's been thinking about this, and he's in the house all by himself with his wife, and he just kind of breaks loose and says, "Do you love me?" And she said, "Do I what?" You know, she doesn't understand where he's coming from. And they have this neat little interchange that's going on in this song where he keeps saying, "You know, do you love me? I just want to know." And she says, "Well, I've been taking care of you, been milking the cows. I've got the kids raised. I've been doing this or that. Isn't that love?" "Well, yeah, yeah." And they kind of then go off talking about how they were nervous on their wedding day. And my mother and my father said we'd learn to love each other. Can you imagine going to your wedding thinking that? And they kind of get down, and she comes back again, and she says, "Well, we've been together all this time, and I've done this or that." And he kind of says, "Well, does that sort of mean that you love me?" And she says, "Well, I suppose I do." And he says, "Well, I suppose I love you too." And then they sing this little duet at the end. It doesn't change a thing, but even so, after 25 years, it's nice to know. Well, I want you to think about that concept with me, because what he was really saying was, can you define love just by what you do? Isn't love maybe a little deeper than that, a little more than that? Because we can do a lot of things and not really be in love or have love for somebody. And so it creates a really interesting little structure here that we want to look at this morning, or that I want to look at this morning, as we're dealing with this whole concept of Godship. Now, what I'm talking about with Godship is, and by the way, I meant to have Fiddler on the Roof up there just in case you didn't know what it looked like. Godship is something we've been looking at. This is the fourth week. And by Godship, I simply mean having a relationship with God that encompasses everything that God is and the difference that he makes in our life. But Godship is the process of developing that relationship with God. And so what I've been talking about are the four steps to having a relationship with God. And we're looking at the fourth one this morning. That's why I did not want to leave that off. I wanted to be sure we included it. But the thing that I want to get at is what we're talking about is are we after the real thing? Are we after a relationship or are we after a religion? It would be nice if they were both the same thing, but that's not always true, right? Is what I'm doing real or not? In fact, I even created this other strange word that I call churching. And churching, that's why I've got it in a church chair. Churching is doing church without ever really honestly seeking a relationship with God. And man, we can do, I'm not talking about a week, I'm talking about a lifetime. We can do that for a long time. We're going through the motions. We're going to church. We're doing the church stuff. We're with church people. We're a church person. But have you got a relationship with God? Do you even want that? Do we even know what it means? Do we even know how to make that happen? That's what I'm dealing with this morning. I want us to understand that it can't just be talk. It's got to be the real thing. If you have your Bible there with you, what I want to do is I want to give you a couple examples real quickly. I want to go to a very familiar passage in Psalm 51. I love the language of David here as he is seeking that relationship with God. Right in the middle of it, we could read the whole chapter, but we won't. Verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. He says, God, I want you. And I don't want what I've done in the past to damage that relationship. I want a relationship with you. And then I love what he says in verse 13. Then, as a result of that renewed relationship with God, I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Amen. Wow. You mean something happens when we have a relationship with God? You mean something a little different happens in our life that we weren't doing before? Yeah. Here it is. Let's jump over to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 1. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and here is his prayer for the brethren and for us. He says, for this reason, verse 15, since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Oh, Paul, you're so neat. Well, Paul, what have you been praying for me? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. Wow. That is what Paul wanted for us. It's what he wanted for them, and we're part of that. And I want us to recognize what a beautiful concept that is, that he wants us to know him better. Now, why would I want to know him better? We hadn't got time, but if you go over to chapter 2, read the first 10 verses. You once were dead, now you're alive. For you have been saved by grace through faith. We've been created in God for good works, verse 10. Wow, that's what God did for us. And what he's saying, when we recognize what a precious God we have, what a precious Father we have, it changes the way that we live. So we have some steps that are essential to having that relationship with God. This is what we've been looking at, okay? We seek God. That means we desire and we pursue a relationship with God. You don't have any solid relationship in your life that didn't start out seeking first. Amen. You got to want it. And if you don't want a relationship with God, you won't have it, because God is looking for those who are seeking him. That's who he diligently rewards, right? And then we throw in the mix here the step that I'm calling simply serve. And all we mean by that is that when I have a relationship with somebody and care about somebody, I want to please them. Honey, what can I do for you? You know, what can I do to make you happy? And of course, with God, we're talking about not only pleasing, but we're talking about obeying. For without faith, it is impossible to what? Please Him, right? That's why we have that faith. We're trying to please God. And then the one that really scared everybody last week, probably, the idea of sense God. What does it mean to sense God? What that means is that I recognize His presence. And I recognize His guidance. Like Steve was talking just a moment ago, where do you think those neat ideas come from in our head? I believe God gives them to them. Some of them are, sure, but who knows the difference? God is guiding us, and we need to recognize what we're talking about here. If I want a relationship with God, I've got to seek it. I've got to be willing to make Him happy. I've got to have more awareness of His presence. And again, if I save God for Sunday, I haven't got much of a relationship with God. Okay? And then we get to the last one. Hopefully my big marker works. You notice I'm not talking because I can't write and talk at the same time. Well, I can sometimes. So what does that do for you? Does that scare you to death? Now, before you get nervous, I'm not talking about making anybody feel guilty about not evangelizing. Now, that may be part of it, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is what is simply a natural part. And by the way, I should have taken you through this, but I had a marker in my hand. Sharing is a natural response to any relationship. It's a natural, if you've got a real relationship with somebody that you love and you're seeking to make it deeper and you're serving and you sense them as part of your life, no matter where you are, you will share. Amen. And all I mean by that is you can't keep from talking about them. And that doesn't matter whether it's your wife, your girlfriend, your best friend, whoever it is. We want to talk about what we care about. Because why? It's too good to keep to myself. Now, having said that, I want us to understand a basic principle here. Love causes us to want to share in a lot of different ways. Because we have a loving relationship, we not only share, we're thankful. And when you're thankful about something, you can't help but talk about it. Well, you can't help but share. But the other part of that is because we love something or we love somebody, not only are we going to be thankful and be sharing, but again, we're simply going to be talkative. We talk about things that are precious to us, things that are on our hearts, okay? Now, let me explain to you why I think this is an essential step in our relationship with God. We're doing good. Let me give you three simple principles about the essential nature of sharing in our relationship with God, okay? Number one, we talk about what we care about. Now, the negative of that is true, too. We don't talk about what we don't care about. Ouch. Right? And this is a very simple principle that, again, is a relationship principle that when I look at it here in my notes, you know, I'm talking about when I care about something, I care about the Cardinals, I talk about them. Now, if they lose, I may not talk as much, but, you know, I mean, how many times have I said things about my kids? Why do I say things about my kids? Because I care about my kids, right? I can't not talk about my kids because I care about them. You know, you're lucky I haven't gotten to the grandkids yet. That's coming. I talk about my church because I care about my church. When somebody says something to me about the shirt that I'm wearing or the book that I'm carrying or something that I've said or done, I let them know where I go to church and my church family's there and I love my church family. Now, let me tell you what I'm talking about here. I think you can define what it means to talk about what you care about from three different levels. We're talking about a relationship with God, so first, A, if you got your notes, we're talking about a godly pride. Now, pride can be bad, can it? Paul had a godly pride for the Corinthians. If it's driven by godliness, it's not an egotistical pride. And so we talk about what we are proud of. And hopefully with godly pride, that's something that's very godly. Let me tell you what. I have an awesome father. Amen. An awesome father. Amen. He has forgiven me. He's taken care of me. He's gonna be someone that I can't wait to be with for all eternity. I can't wait for that dad hug. I talked about that a few weeks ago with you. And so, you know, godly priority means that I'm going to bring those things up. I love Jeremiah, don't you? In Jeremiah chapter 20, Jeremiah, he's been beaten. He's been put in stocks. I mean, people are laughing at his prophecies. And Jeremiah says, I'm ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord, listen to that. The word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. Ouch. Who wants that? But you know what he said next, right? But if I say I will not mention him or speak him anymore in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. Godly priority, you talk about what you care about. And by the way, Paul said something very similar to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. They were wondering why they'd never given him any money. And Paul said, hey, I can give you a lot of reasons why I deserve to be paid by you. In fact, you ought to be paying me. But he goes on to say, but because it was better for you if I'm not paid, but you got to understand, I got a job to do. When I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. I cannot stop doing what God has put in my heart. He's got a relationship with God, and he's got to get done what God wants done. But now, secondly here, not only do you have a godly pride, but you've got a godly priority. And again, we talk about what we care about, so there's our priority there. Are you comfortable being defined with what you talk about on Facebook? Is that the most important thing in your life? Isn't that what we generally put on Facebook, is whatever's important to us? Hopefully we're a little deeper than that, folks, right? We have priorities. And so what we talk about tells everybody else what our priority is. And then number three, or C, if you're taking notes, not only do we have godly priorities, but we've got godly potential. Godly potential. If I talk about what I care about, and I'm proud of God, and I've got a godly priority, and I look at you, do I not see someone who could have a relationship with God? Man, you could know God. Do you realize how much better you would be if you knew my Father? I mean, do we feel that burden? I don't know. Number two, let me challenge you with this relationship with God. It involves sharing because we give because he gave. Now, brethren, this is not just talking about contribution, though that's part of it. It's talking about the nature and the character of God. Our Father is a giving God, and if we are in the process of becoming like him, we are going to be just like our dad. Yes. It's what we do. We start looking like him, and we start acting like him. We are an extension of our Father. How many times have you heard people say that? Well, he's his father's son. You know, he's his mother's, you know, daughter, or she's her mother's daughter. And you know, why is that? Because we are an extension of what we come from. We're an extension of what we are connected to. God gives. It's what God does, because God is love. And so we will only know that we have a relationship with God to the extent that we give like God does. And that simply means it becomes a part of our life. God never, think about this, God never used guilt to tell us to share him. Now think about it. He never used that. We do. We preachers and teachers do. Make everybody feel guilty for not talking about God. And a lot of times it's needed, right? But what does God say? He says, I've shown I love you. Now if that means anything to you, then you show that you love me. That's all God has said. That's all he's ever wanted. And I just think that's a powerful concept when we realize that God never, ever stops giving. And by the way, this idea of sharing God, it's more than serving. It's a matter of being. It's who we are. We talk about what is most important to us. Let me give you the last one, then we'll quit. In a sharing relationship with God, we pursue opportunities to shine for him. That's what it means. If we're really connected to God and we're seeking that deeper relationship and we're pleasing Him and we have a sense of Him being with us no matter where we are, we are going to shine for Him wherever we are. You see, one of the things we have to understand, I think we treat grace like children with M&Ms. I just think, well, what do kids do if they got a pile of M&Ms sitting in front of them? You want one? But these are mine, right? But these are mine, right? Okay, one. These are mine. I mean, isn't that what we do with grace? We sort of piece it out. I mean, people have to fight us for it. They've got to argue. We've got to get into long discussions. Then all of a sudden, it's, oh yeah, by the way, can we talk about grace a little bit? And by the way, you don't even have to use the word grace because grace is a condition of the heart. It's being a giving person because God was a giving person. And we've got to get over the fact that we have something that God gave us that is not only special, but God gave it to us because He wanted us to give it away. We pursue others like God did. And if we're pursuing others like God did, that means we pursue others with love, we pursue others with grace, and we pursue others with godliness. Here's somebody that needs God. Here's somebody that's life is going to be better if they know grace. And do we care enough to give them something that special? That's all we're saying. That's why it's an essential part. You start seeing where you are in your relationship with God, right? Because you realize you've been keeping all this stuff a secret. We need to relook at what He says in 1 John. Remember that? He says, God loved us. Man, He says in chapter 4, 1 John verses 9 and 10, God loved us and He showed His love for us in that He gave His only Son to be the payment for our sins. Then I like how John turns it in verse 11. He says, dear brethren, if He loved us so much, should we not love one another? Well, now think about that picture. In verse 9 and 10, he says, God loved us so much. Wow, God, you are so awesome. Wow, God. But then he says, dear brethren, because of that, because God loved me so much, I'm going to love one another. What is that saying? In our relationship, in our walk with God, we're not just wowed by God's love. We share God's love. We love one another because God loved us. It's that simple. Sometimes we don't really know what that means, but we need to know what it means. I want you to think about that with me this morning because I want to end with this thought. You know, Christmas is only 3 months away. In fact, it's only 3 months from next week, right? Wow, you got your gifts yet? Now, I want you to think about that for a second. I'm not going to talk a lot about Christmas. I want to talk about the idea of a gift. What is the most memorable Christmas gift you ever gave anybody? I was thinking about that. Don and I have been married this December. It'll be 47 years. Do you love me? No, I better not go there. And I remember, I think it was like about our fourth year of marriage. I mean, I was making nothing, hardly. Very, very, very tight salary. Donna had not gone back to work when she had. This was right after Deborah was born. Our salary was cut in half when she quit working, and things were tight. But I remember we had gone through Dillard's, and there was a little opal ring with diamonds around it. And back then, I'm trying to remember, it was nearly $400. I mean, that was my monthly paycheck. And I got it for, well, on a Dillard's card, but, you know, I got it for. And I remember her opening that up on Christmas morning. We were having Christmas in Florida with her grandparents, and her parents were there. And Donna just freaked out. She couldn't believe I got something that nice for her. And her parents looked at me and said, you owe us all kinds of money. What are you doing paying something? No. Oh, they didn't say anything like that. They probably should have, but I know they were thinking, what kind of idiot did our daughter marry here? But you know what? My wife still wears that ring. And that's still one of her favorites. And I just love it. You know, everything that we love has different levels of meaning to us. You know, I would be hurt if she just gave that away. If she just said, well, honey, I love you, but I'm going to give this to somebody else. I mean, I guess on the situation, you know, if she could talk me into it, but man, oh, how could you do that to me? Do you realize that everything God gave us, he gave us to give away? Amen. Everything God gave us, he gave us to give away. Amen. I mean, whether it's love or grace, the fruits of the Spirit, the elements of godliness, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, that's the graces. But wow, I can't wait to get to heaven to be able to talk to people who are going to remind me what I did for them. I mean, there's going to be people that I taught in classes, and some of you people who taught for so many years and those little kids, they're going to come up to you in heaven and they're going to say, man, I'm so glad you taught me that story. Man, I'm so glad you told me about that. You helped change my life. Or again, maybe it's going to be some work that you help support, like we're going to talk about this morning, and some missionary who will be able to come up and say, man, you know, you don't know how much you encouraged me and how much you supported me and how much that means, but you know what's going to be the neatest? It's going to be the ones who come up and give me a big hug and say, thank you for sharing the gospel with me. Thank you for giving me grace. And it's not all of them people that I preach to or taught. It's just people that maybe I pointed in the right direction, okay? Can you imagine what kind of a reunion that's going to be in heaven to have those kinds of people come up to you and say, man, thank you for what you've done for me. That's actually the theme of a very well-known song that came out a few years ago. Can I encourage you this morning to deepen your walk with God? Create heavenly experiences yet to happen. I don't know where you are in your journey. We're doing good here. Please recognize that among all the things we're going to talk about this morning, there's absolutely nothing more important than you connecting with God. If you can talk to God where you sit, where you're standing in a moment, or maybe the elder is going to be around the room, go back there and grab one of them and pray with one of them. Let them help you. Or certainly if we as a church family can help you reconnect with God or begin that walk with God, we've got time for that. Because that's the most important thing that we can do. But you have to let us know, won't you, while together we stand and sing?